It's June the 27th, 2016, in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America, on God's good, great planet Earth. Thank you for coming to the website. It's been a number of days since I put anything up, and the last time I put something up, I was waiting on someone to come by the studio, but they never made it. And it would have been, I think, one of the most liveliest discussions that I've ever had in my life. It was going to be a discussion with two men. I guess we're contemporaries. And one in his late 50s and myself in my early 70s. Speaking about the way it was, I have a record queued up on the turntable that I'm going to play. It's called Meet Me Here. I first heard this way back in 1974 and 1975 by a European Christian artist, Evie Turnquist Carlson. She had it on one of her albums, and I was looking through the stacks, and I found another album by the Pat Terry Group. Oh, way back in the day. Let me see if I can find the year on this album. And I wonder if Pat Terry is still around, really. Let's see what year I got on here. It's 1975. Not the same. Man. All these years. Very interesting. Let me give a little bit of background on them, because these guys must be about my age now or older, and if they're still around. And I want to, I guess, read the commentary on the back of this album so that you would know the way it was back in the day, and so that you won't get it, the script twisted at all. People throughout the country are writing and singing about Jesus. Not now. It's a special occasion when you come across some young men whose lifestyles and music captured the essence and life of Jesus. And that was unique, because I recall when we start singing about Jesus, you know, the rappers start singing about Jesus and everything else. But Sonny Lederstedt, I think that's his name, and Randy Bug have put it all together. This is what he says on the back of the album. Their mature spiritual lives, their songs, their ability to share with an audience. And when we hear Christian musicians with the excellence of the Pat Terry Group, we want the whole world to know them and their message. Now, this is on the back of an album cover in 1975. Man, the difference. The Pat Terry Group's music is folk rock, pop country blues, and it was performed with an irresistible excitement, he says, that soon you'll be singing, and praising God. That's why I bought the album. I thought it was a fantastic piece of work back in the day. And this album, Soft Strings, a lively keyboard enhanced by the group's exceptional acoustic guitar work, sets the pace for an exuberant experience in the love of Jesus. This is interesting. And it calmed me back in the day. And of course, I didn't have cassette players back then. And if we did, I don't recall when I got my first cassette player. But this was real. Written directly from scriptures and personal experiences, Pat's straightforward lyrics convey old truths with a striking newness. And it was just good. Billy Ray Hearn wrote this. He was the director of Myrrh Records back in the time. And I like this particular cut because of the words. The words is of an individual. It's supposed to be indicative of an individual who walked into a sanctuary, a church. There was no one there. No one there. The preacher wasn't there. The choir wasn't there. The ushers, no one. Just an empty, empty room. I recall many a time when I would go to the church and just walk into an empty room. You know what I did? I guess it's time to get serious here. You know what I did when I did that? I used to go to the church and enter into an empty room. And the first thing that I did was went right to the front of the pulpit area. And I laid myself face down. Of course, I had a Bible under my head. I was very, as a young pastor, especially when I was given the pastorate of the church. Drinking a little green tea on a summery Monday morning in my office in the Lucy Coleman studio, enjoying the sunshine and being in the studio and being able to sit down and talk with you. But I would lie down, stretch my arms out, and I would begin to weep, and I would say, God, what are you going to have me do this week? What are you going to have me say to these people? What are you going to have me come on the radio talking about? Use me as a vessel, because I don't know what to do. I don't know how to say it. I don't know where to go with it. I was being very real with my Christianity back in the day, taking my personal bouts with God to him on the floor of that church. We had a beautiful blue carpet. And of course, I was, you know, the dust and the stuff from Sunday morning was still on the floor. The church custodian had not been by. But I was at the church for a reason, you see. I was at the church for a reason. And the reason that I was there on Monday morning, that early, around 7 o'clock too, early, because I had always been used to getting up, going to work. And so I did the same thing there. I left Lucy at home, and I went to the church. Took some of the books if I were to do some studying, some reading there at the church. And of course, if the church phone rung, I answered it. We didn't have technology back then where you could have the call transferred to your cell phone. I later got that, and it was great. People would call me at the church and my cell phone would ring. This new technology just blew my mind. But that's how serious I was. Why was I there? When Every Turnquest wrote this song called Meet Me Here, it was a woman singing it, but when the Pat Terry group came out with it in 75, I said, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Listen to the words. And I'm going to play it in a few. And I want to talk with you a little bit also today about where we are spiritually and what I came in contact with. You guys know I'm out there trying to resell myself out there because as an adjunct professor, I don't get the classes always that I'd like to get. And if I don't get the classes that I'd like to get, that means it's less money and it's harder for me to live. I was explaining that to a person that was visiting my home. I said, I just can't. Oh, here, take this, drink this, do that, eat this. That. I don't do that because I won't have anything left if I just invite guests in to do that. And so I have to really watch my finances, watch the food that I have, watch the important liquids that I need to put in my body, the right kinds of foods to put in there. And that costs. And I'm not going to share that with anybody because I have to live. Matter of fact, this week a dear old friend came by, the guy that did the lead track music for my tapes, Anthony Hill came by to visit me at the beginning of the weekend, and he mentioned, he said, "John, you're losing a lot of weight." I am. I only eat one meal a day, and I, you know, try to eat the healthy foods like that. I need to put more fruits and things like that into my diet, and I will do that. But anyhow, I told him, I said, "No, I'm not losing." I said, "I'm losing good weight." Reggie, a brother, came by yesterday. He didn't go to his church Sunday. He came by here to hang out with me. And I cooked him an interesting brunch. I had some organic pre-cooked rice and blended it with one egg. And I could have put onions in it and stuff like that. Made a nice little dish, had a little tuna salad on the side. And we ate it after we were speaking about a couple of hours on Sunday afternoon. I asked him how he felt. He says, "What do you mean?" I said, "Hunger-wise, are you craving?" And he said, "No, as a matter of fact, I feel very good. I don't feel like I need any food. I'm not hungry for food. That plate that you gave me was just excellent." I said, "There was no grease. There was no meat. There was no fried stuff. There was not." I said, "I don't put that in me. I don't put it in me, because when you put that in you, that works against the natural body that God gives you, that he wants to put in you. I want to share with you an ingredient that I go to a health store near me, and I'll read the words to you in a second. I'm not in a hurry. It's been a while since I've taken some sit down chat time to talk with my friends that come to the website. Some of you think that I've given up on doing webcasts. Well, I have not. I have not given up on doing webcasts. It is just that I do not waste my time talking about things that do not interest me anymore. Because that's how you waste your time, doing that. Mullein, that's what I put in my water. It says, "Discover nature's answer." This mullein is very, very good. What is it? I'm trying to go to the back of the bottle to read it here. But I have it, and it comes in an eye drop capsule, and I have 2,000 milligrams. I have to be very careful how much of this. I only put about 3 drops in my water that I drink every few hours, and it has it discolors the water, makes it a little light brown because it's very strong, but it works beautifully by cleaning out my internal system. I mean, just cleaning it out, and what and it's beautiful because all the fat and everything, I have no desire for that kind of food anymore. You know, like the eggs that you eat at Denny's. And now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I go out to a restaurant if I haven't eaten in a number of weeks. I can go to Denny's and eat a nice a meal at Denny's if I'm out. You know, but I don't. Very rarely. The soup is too salty. And the other food is not health conscious at all. It's just, you're there just chewing it and swallowing it and trying to make it either sweet or salty to meet your palate satisfaction. And the next thing you know, you got a big rubber tire around your waist. That's what I was telling one of the young men that came by to visit me. He's in his 50s. I said, "You need to get rid of that. I don't have mid-rib bulge. I don't have that stuff. I used to have it when I was a preacher. When I was a minister, you know, you buy a suit and you got to get 36 in the waist because you got so much mid-rib bulge that you need to add 2 more inches to your waist size. I don't do that now. I don't do that. I eat healthy. I try to stay healthy and live healthy. And I also try to be spiritually healthy. What I don't do is I don't listen to preachers, because I'm a preacher, getting ready to have, for the first time in a long time, a men's Bible study group come by my home by the latter part of July. About 9 or 10 of us. It's going to be very nice. Breakfast is going to be served. A light breakfast. It's not going to be anything, you know, because I'm not into that. But it's going to be a nice time. I like this. No fat, just muscle tenure and everything in the leg and in the entire body. That's what I've been doing. I've been concentrating on me. If God got me living here, then I'm going to live here in the right way. You know, I had to go and get a suit. I had not bought a formal professional suit, black suit, since the year that my wife died. Lucy died in 2001. Lucy died in 2001, July of 2001. And I'll never forget, my son-in-law came by and he took me out. I don't know why he thought I needed a new suit. I had a black suit, a DP and everything. He says, no, you need a new suit for your wife's funeral. I don't know why I did that. Maybe I was grieving so much. I didn't want to think about it. But that's the last time I bought a suit. And the suit is in my closet. I don't wear it because it's an old cut suit. And I got to get up there and I got to compete with the younger people. And even if I want to give me some part-time work at a couple of colleges, I want to hand my resume out, visit the humanities department. And that's what I'll be doing for a number of days starting this week. I'll pick a college to go to and just drive out there, take some business cards with me. I can print those on my computer here and sell myself. Say, hey, I'm an adjunct professor. I'd like a little extra work if you got an opening. I specialize in these classes. I think I'll put down world religions. I'll specialize in that because I really like teaching that, world religions, intro to philosophy, and ethics. I'm not going to put a lot of emphasis on logic. I don't like teaching logic that much. And I only teach it if I have to. But I went downtown to get a suit. And Mario is back in from Europe, so he went with me. Mario acquired him a job within being here about a week and a half. He got him a job. And so he's trying to save some more money, get out of here again. But anyhow, we go downtown. And I meet this black guy down there who's working in this Jewish, you know, suit store. When brothers come in, they send a brother to you. And what can I help you with and whatnot? And I told him what it was. I said, I'm 72, trying to reinvent myself out there and compete with people. And I need a competitive suit. I need a newer suit. Thinner legs, not this wide stuff that people my age wear, and thinner lapels. And, you know, nice. He says, I have just what you need. And it was amazing because while I was there telling him what I needed and what I needed for and bought the suit, there was two young white fellas next to me, and they were in the market with the same thing, and he bought the same kind of suit. I know it because they sent us to a place to, you know, to get the pants leg altered right, and him, that is. And they were right behind me with the same suit. They liked the suit. So it's a very modern suit. They were in their late 20s, 30s. That's what I wanted. I wanted the clothes that the young people wear. See how I'm in the culture and I'm blending myself in the culture? See, if you're going to be a part of a culture, you got to, you know, you got to embed yourself in that culture. I was talking with the brother that was selling me the suit. I explained to him who Mario was and what I do with young men, only to come to find out that the salesman also was a Christian and charismatic also. tongue speaker and everything. He told me that we didn't contend about that. But then he pulled me aside and he was talking low because, of course, he works for the Jews. And he said, "I know what you're doing, John." And I looked at him kind of strange. And I said, "What?" He said, "I know what you're doing." He said, "God bless you." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You have blended yourself into the culture, but you do it for a purpose." I said, "Of course I'm doing it for a purpose." And I said, "Why don't you tell me what that purpose is?" He says, "Number one, ain't nobody going to listen to the message." And this guy, I come to find out, was my same age, 72 years old. See how I have the white beard corner? He had one just like me. Like, I wear my hair bald now. He was wearing his hair bald. I was speaking with a true contemporary of mine. Grew up with me, same age, same culture grew up in. He was in his church. I told him I've been in the church since 67, and I got out of it. I told him I don't even go there anymore. He says, "I understand, I understand." He said, "It's all become foolishness." He said, this is what he told me. He said, "Biblical faith in this country has been so polluted that one cannot depend." I mean, I'm talking with this black man just out of the blue. Mario's listening to it. And he says, "I know just what you're doing." And he says, "You're doing just what the Bible told us to do. The Bible said that we are in the world, but not of the world." See, you can change the style of your clothes. And, oops, excuse me. And that's good that my internal tract, because I've drunk that stuff with the water, you know, and it keeps me clear. And that's wonderful, man. So I'm sorry for belching over the big mic. You know, PJ is just keeping it real. But I am sorry. It's kind of rude. I did it on one of the webcasts at the end of the webcast, and the lady, if you listen to it, she went off. But you never know what'll happen in the Lucy Coleman studio, all right? So, thank you, Lucy. Buying the suit was an interesting experience because I had an opportunity, a grand opportunity, to share with Mario, my play son, that I am not the only one like this. And he said, "You have truly met," Mario told me this, "you've truly met a contemporary of yours." And he said, "You are exactly thinking alike." I mean, we were speaking with each other. Listen to me. And it was like myself and the salesman had been friends for years. It's like we went to the same high school together. We grew up in the same, I mean, we didn't get into the issue about talking about guns, talking about gayness, talking about nothing. We were truly contemporaries because our mindset. Then he said, "Also, thank you for working with the young black men." He says, "Because they have no fathers, no direction. They don't have anything that we had that made us complete individuals." He said, "Look at you. You're 72, my age. You're still thinking about generating money in your life, and will not stop until you're physically not able to do it." I said, "That's it. It's not about, oh, I don't want to get up and go to work today. How else are you going to continue to put the right kind of foods in your stomach? Right kind of vegetables. I have food here. I don't eat it. And this food has to last me for maybe 2 months. I'm not giving this food away. If I give this food away, I'll starve to death because I have no more money coming in. Just enough money to pay for my car, pay the insurance, and then just start saving the rest of it. Saving it, saving it, saving it, saving. Why? See, what I'm trying to teach youngsters, no, you don't spend what you get. You better hold on to it. Because that you get, you have to live off that. So I'm in the habit of, you know, a friend of mine asked me, he said, I we were going to go here on our vacation. I thought that you were going to do that. That's what you told me. I told him, I said, hey, I can't go nowhere, man. My money ain't funny. My money done went insane. Now, what did God give me? God gave me this wonderful house. I got a backyard. It's looking all messed up. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to continue to dig. I think this is a fine day to do it, too. Get out there with my music, dig in the garden and cultivate my garden and plant me some vegetables and try to keep the fruit rats out of them. Do something progressive, right? No, I'm not going anywhere on my vacation. I'm not driving up to Santa Barbara or going into Vegas. I'm not doing that. For what? I mean, you go there and after 24, 48 hours, the money's gone. The food then digested and you've crapped it out. And what do you have to show for yourself? Nothing. So you figure out what you can do around the house. And if you don't get a job, you keep on looking until you get one. This is America. Something's going to open up one day. But I found that very interesting, that just going out there, right out in the middle of nowhere, you meet somebody just like you, talking. And then you got one of your young men with you, and the young man can hear that I'm not crazy. I'm not the only one speaking like this. But it was so good meeting that guy. It was wonderful. Let's see if I got his business card. Oh, I should have. I have it somewhere. I'll have to look for it. Because he said to me, he gave me his business card, and he said, I want to talk more with you. And we were also speaking about eschatological things, because he said, you know, we were talking about the EU, the European Union, and Great Britain, and the ramifications of that break off, and how the whole world, and we got into a great discussion concerning biblical eschatology. He, a former charismatic tongue speaker, and me, a former Reformed Baptist non-tongue speaker, but we hit on the same thing, that we are coming to the end of civilization in terms of Christianity being a viable option as a faith. Now, it does not mean that the faith that saved me is no longer good and I'm no longer saved. It's just that you have to figure out a different kind of stratagem to get that message over to these young people. Because, see, most people in our society would tell us that they believe in God, all right. But when you see the way they live, it is completely different. Now, so I want you to fantasize, if you will, with me, that you walked into a building that used to be a worship place for worship. It's empty because nobody attends it anymore, because, let's say, some Muslims took over the country. And man, let me share with you. I drive down the street here now in South Central Los Angeles. I see SUVs and vehicles has Islamic writings all over it. I don't know what those Islamic writings are saying. And I'm looking at the faces of the people that are around me that are reading these things. And there was a guy, a white guy in a truck next to me, looking at these crazy writings on the back of this Toyota SUV. Obviously, you know, Islamic. And the white guy was highly perturbed. You can see his jaws tighten up. He was glaring at it. Because when you look at something that you don't understand, when you're looking at something that you think these people want to cut your head off because you believe in the blue-eyed, blonde-haired Jesus of the European mindset, as opposed to the biblical representation of who Jesus is like. I'm running into that difficulty all the time as I yet speak with people. But I want to propose to you that a time has come when you walk into a good-sized sanctuary. doesn't make any difference how big the sanctuary is. You walk into that place, and let's see if you can relate to the words that Pat Terry's talking about here. Let's listen in together and try to understand.
Gone home, but I'm here wishing that some way we could meet.
Talking about meeting with God.
Preacher stopped his preaching. Somehow it goes on. My heart, somehow I feel so incomplete. You and me, all alone in your house. Don't know how to say. Guess that I'll just play it by ear. Meet me here. The pews are now so empty, but still you seem so. I cry, hoping that some way I might know you. Choir stopped its singing. Somehow I still hear, and the tears are blinding the eyes. You and me, all alone in your house. Don't know how to say it. I guess that I'll just play it by ear. Meet me here.
I guess I'll just play it by ear. But will you meet me here? That's what Pat Terry is saying. Wherever you go into that place, you know, and you want God to meet you there, you can meet him. I'm sorry for the, you know, I have an old Akai turntable, direct drive turntable, a DD servo, an AP DE D210. You can look that up. And it's old, and it was refurbished, and I think that it's finally getting ready to play out. Maybe one of these days I'll get some money and I can get a brand new turntable and make it a little bit different. But that's Meet Me Here. Kind of music I used to listen to way back in 1975. 40 years ago. Wow. Come on, man. All that decades. And let me tell you something. Every Sunday morning. Wait a minute. Every Sunday morning. I want you guys to think about this. Every Sunday morning, I'm up. And I'm at that church. And when tape recorders came out, cassette tapes, I would record these things. play it in my car, in my van. I had an 8-track. You don't even see those anymore. I had an 8-track player and then my cassette player. And over the years, I still got to dump a bunch of stuff out of the house I got because it's old school stuff. And with the technology that they have now, I could put all this stuff on a disc and listen to it properly if I wanted to. Now, that would be a great exercise for me to do. I'm kind of caught in between a rock and a hard place. Check this out. I want to preach again, but I know that the audience would not listen. And so I preach in the college, but I'm not really preaching. I am teaching philosophy. And the philosopher is, and he must be, a theologian to some degree, because the philosopher believes in the divinities. It would be impossible for him to speak of something where people long ages before he was born or his religion was born had an idea concerning the way God substantiated himself. Oh yes, you can tell that I love what I'm doing. If you'd like to listen to some good gospel messages, you can go to my YouTube clips, John Cole 1234, J-O-H-N-C-O-L-E 1234. I got a little note from one of my brothers that he's not able to download for some reason. My MP3 deals, I'm doing it the same way. I don't know what the problem might be, but keep trying at it. I want you to do this along with me. Just like the singer was saying, to seek God for yourself. I met with the men's group yesterday. It's kind of like a Bible study group. And we had a little food to eat at the pool. And at the pool of one of these individuals that allowed us men to meet and gather there. And it was so good meeting with brethren of like faith that love God. We love each other. We respect each other. And having taken that time to do that, I opened up my house to be one of the guest homes for the study group. And I'm looking forward to that in July. Really, I am. I got to clean up a little bit. I don't want them coming by my house seeing it looking tore up as I usually have it. Because sometimes the boys get a little wild over here. You know, just stretching. You know, it's a good thing. It keeps me going, though. For sure. But let me tell you something. For those of you that don't think that I know what I'm doing, why did that brother that sold the suits know exactly what I was doing and hit it right on the head? And he told me that's the only way to reach them. Because you're not going to reach them with the conventional, that stuff. Because it's been erased out of our culture. If you really try to live and to entreat what we did back in 1975 and live like that, these people's mentality, their minds are not even geared that way. You know, our children has been so programmed with the media. My gosh. But reality has a way of slapping you right dead in the middle of the face. And it's going to do that. Well, thank you for coming to my website. Thank you for being concerned about PJ. Where's PJ at? How come he hasn't said anything? What's going on? Here I am. And there you are. Spend some time reading the scriptures for yourself. As a matter of fact, next time, Lord willing, I do a webcast, I think I'll just have an open Bible and just start reading it to you and share with you what God has given me through the insights and the mannerisms of studying it exegetically within its original context not changing the meaning of it, and sharing that context with you. That's the best thing that I can do for you as we welcome in the summer in 2016. And we pray that God's justice, mercy, and his inclination to care for his children might continue irregardless of our buffoonery, because we have really blown it. What did Jesus tell his disciples? He that worships God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then it says, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. He's not seeking you to worship him. And oh my God, Reggie showed me one of his friends that had become a pastor in this church. And what this man was doing was totally ridiculous. This man was, it was totally ridiculous. And he said, I went to high school with him. And I just said, well, there you are. And then he went on to say what his pastor said. He said, I was listening to the pastor preach, and he sounded just like you, PJ. I said, how's that? What did he say? He said, because he said, don't listen to people that promise you pie in the sky. Only listen to the people that tell you to live life. And when life happens to you, you have a buckler, a shield, a wheel in the middle of a wheel, turning to keep you on a progressive path towards God and out of the way of harm. And that personality is God, Yahweh, Jehovah, if you will. I like the way he put it. He says, I'm God and there's none else. You know what that means? There ain't nothing else but me. So if you believe in a hierarchy of gods, like in the Grecian gods, or Hercules, and all these different names, go ahead. I'm not mad at you, especially if it makes you a better person. But anyhow, it's been great. Thank you. 42 minutes. I think that's it. Got to do a little bit more house cleaning. Let me put this up on the website, and I'll talk to you later. Thanks to the Pat Terry Group and Murr Records. And thank you for being a considerate listener. God bless.